بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. We now come to the third session on invocation as a virtue. We were talking about the pillar of awrad and the importance of establishing the awrad as the routines of worship, the routine of dhikr. And last night we were talking about istighfar, or seeking forgiveness, as the first of the three aspects of the awrad, or the wird that we take. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the second part of the wird, which is as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after a person has done the istighfar and cleansed themselves through seeking forgiveness, they then engage in sending salat and salams upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this practice that we call as-salatu ala an-nabi, or in Urdu, the durood sharif, is a mainstay of our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said we start with istighfar, then as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the tahleel. So this is the order that we maintain in the wird. Seeking forgiveness, number one, as-salatu ala an-nabi, number two, and tahleel, la ilaha illallah, number three. So the question that arises, some people may ask, why in this order? Well, we explain why we begin with istighfar, and that is to cleanse the self, to cleanse the soul. But why do we then go to as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the tahleel? Why are we saying 100 times, for instance, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ali, before saying la ilaha illallah? And the answer, and there are many answers, but one of the answers is that you begin with as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the tahleel, because he is the means by which we receive the tahleel. So you invoke salat and salams, asking Allah to bless and exalt and elevate the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the means of us having the tahleel. Because the reality is, there is no acceptable tawheed unless it is through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sending salat is a part of showing gratitude to Allah Ta'ala for making us from His Ummah. So we'll talk a little bit about this as the second aspect of the wird. So what exactly is salat, and what is as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In the Arabic language, salat means dua. That's the linguistic meaning. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions the linguistic meaning of salat in the Quran. Allah says, "Inna salataka sakanun lahum." He tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make du'a for the believers, and says that your du'a, your salat, is a means of tranquility for them. That's the linguistic meaning. Then there is the shar'i, legal meaning of salat that we know of as the specific act of worship that begins with takbir and ends with taslim and has other aspects, other pillars to it. The well-known salat that we establish. As-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a dua where we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to yusalli ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we explain this? A lot of ink has been used by the ulama to describe the meanings of as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't have enough time to go into all of those statements, but the gist of what those ulama say is when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ali, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt and to elevate, to increase in honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to continuously shower blessings upon him. That's the general meaning. Some of the ulama went further and said that as-salatu ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually from the mutashabihat. it's from the unclear or ambiguous meanings, because Allah says إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. Allah mentions that He does the act of sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the angels, and then He commands us to do it. So they mention that the salat of Allah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from the mutashabihat, meaning it's from the ambiguous verses whose reality is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have a general understanding of what it is, but the reality of it is far greater than whatever we could ever imagine. It is essentially asking Allah ta'ala to perpetually and constantly increase the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in disclosures and nearness and exaltation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Allah ta'ala commands us to send salat upon him, and many of the ulama say that it is fard, it is obligatory to send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at least once in your life. Others say it is obligatory when you are in the tashahhud. Others say it is obligatory whenever you hear his name mentioned, even if it's repeated many times in a single gathering, it is obligatory on you to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's different opinions about that, but this shows you the attention the scholars gave to it. Why is this important for our awrat, our routines of remembrance? Well, for one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, "Man salla alayya salatan wahidan sallallahu alayhi biha ashara." Whoever sends one salat upon me, Allah will send upon him on account of it 10 salawat. And what a distinction, what a difference there is between the salat of the abd when he says or she says Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, and when Allah sends salat upon the believer. What is that salat? It is a mercy. It is an opening. It is tranquility. We have another hadith from Imam al-Tabarani in his Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, "Whoever sends one salat upon me, Allah will send tenfold salat upon him. And whoever sends 10 prayers upon me, Allah will send 100-fold prayers upon him. And whoever sends 100 salat upon me, Allah will write between his eyes, free from hypocrisy and free from the hellfire." So this is, of course, an unseen type of writing where the person is decreed by Allah Ta'ala to be free of hypocrisy and free from entering the hellfire. And the hadith continues by saying, "And Allah will place that person among the shuhada on the day of judgment." This is one of hundreds of hadith about the virtue of as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If a person wants to be close to Allah, they need to find a way to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dunya and in akhirah. And one of the ways you can be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter is by being a person of abundant salawat in this dunya. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "The closest of people to me on the day of judgment will be those who sent the most salawat upon me." So this is one of many, many hadith on the virtues of as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the question is, we know these virtues and they are mentioned in so many narrations, but why exactly is it so important for us to adopt as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a specific dhikr we implement in our lives? The ulama mention dozens of reasons, and I'll mention to you two or three because of the lack of time. Some of the ulama say that among the reasons why as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is so powerful and so important and so rewarding is that it is a means of drawing nearer to Allah ta'ala by the one who is the most beloved to him. And Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبَتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. وَبَتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ وَسِيلًا here means seek a means of approach to Allah. And one of the best means of approach to Allah Ta'ala is through having an attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the more you invoke salawat, the more attachment you will have to him. The more attachment you have to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more love you will have. The more love you have for him, the more attachment and love you have for his words. The more you have attachment and love for his words, the more reverence you have for his words. And that in turn means you will have reverence for the guidance that he brought, which in turn translates into you becoming better in your character, better in implementing the guidance that he brought us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another reason why sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so important and rewarding is that it is a form of shukr. It is a form of showing gratitude to Allah Ta'ala for the one he sent to us as the wasita, as the means of all of the rahmat and the mercies and graces that are in our life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ. The one who does not thank the people has not truly thanked Allah. So if an ordinary person does us a favor, it is incumbent upon us to show gratitude to that person, because they are the vehicle of whatever blessing of Allah came into our life. So if someone helps get your car out of mud, if it's stuck in the parking lot, you show them gratitude because they are the vehicle that Allah sent in your life to help you in that situation. So if that is what we say about gratitude towards ordinary people who do good by us, what about the gratitude we should have for the one who brought us guidance, who brought the Quran, who brought the Sunnah, who brought the Sharia, who brought his beautiful example? Showing gratitude for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is done through a variety of means, one of which is sending lots of salawat upon him. Another reason why it is so important and powerful to send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it is one of the purest expressions of servitude. When you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, you are worshipping Allah Ta'ala because you are invoking Allah Ta'ala and you are obeying Allah Ta'ala who tells you to send salat upon him. And it is one of the greatest ways of having servitude to Allah Ta'ala because you are doing what he commands. And some of the ulama have said that when you look in the story of Iblis and his refusal to prostrate to Adam, what you see is Iblis demanding arrogantly that he worships Allah on his terms. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Iblis, he tells the angels, and Iblis is in the company of the angels, to do what? To prostrate to Adam. So Allah ta'ala commands them to show reverence to one of his creation. Iblis refused. He wanted to worship Allah on his terms, not by showing reverence to one of Allah's creation. So when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, you are making dua to Allah Ta'ala, but at the same time you are also focusing on one of the creation, but you're worshiping Allah on Allah's terms, who commands you to send salawat, right? So the attitude of Iblis is to say, I will only worship Allah and I will not focus my reverence on anything of creation because they are created, even if Allah tells me to. But Allah tells us to honor and revere and send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's literally telling us to put some focus on a makhluq. And when you do that, you are worshiping Allah on his terms by focusing on one of the makhluqat. But that is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Imam Ghazali, he talks about the virtues of salawat, and he says that when you look at the formula, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, or any formula like this of salat, you see in that one formula, there are perhaps a dozen individual acts of worship, all entailed in the single act of sending salawat. For example, when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, that is a tajdeed of iman. It's a renewal of iman in Allah Ta'ala, because you're saying Allahumma, right? That comes from iman. is also a renewal of your iman in the messengers. Right? Having iman in the messengers is an act of the heart, and that's a good deed. And when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, there's an implicit affirmation of your belief in him as Rasulullah. So that's two different acts right there. Tajdeedul iman billah wa tajdeedul iman bil rusul is also reverence toward the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which itself is an act of worship. Likewise, there is the renewal of faith in the last day when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, because you're asking Allah Ta'ala to bless and increase the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this life, in the barzakh, in the next life, in Jannah, and forevermore. So that entails a belief in the hereafter as well. Likewise, when you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, you are expressing love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that itself is a good deed. You're expressing love for his family, his al, and his ashab, if the formula mentions the family and the companions, such as saying Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, and so on. You're reaffirming that love for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. Two different good deeds there. Likewise, you're turning to Allah in dua, and dua in general is an act of worship. Likewise, you are expressing gratitude for the means of guidance. So all of these things and more are all contained implicitly in the single formula, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. It's all there. And this is one of the reasons why salawat are such a tremendous good deed with such reward and blessings. So we talked about establishing a routine of dhikr as our spiritual virtue. We talked about dhikr in general, and then yesterday we talked about istighfar as the beginning. You cleanse yourself, you cleanse your soul through seeking forgiveness, and then you send salawat. After the salawat, you would then say the tahleel, la ilaha illallah. Some of the scholars say it's like tathir and ta'atir and then ta'amir. They mentioned three terms. First, you purify yourself with istighfar. Then it's like you perfume yourself with salawat. And after you've cleansed yourself and then you've perfumed yourself with salawat, then you do the tahleel of la ilaha illallah, which is ta'amir. So think about a house. You clean the house, you clean the blinds, you mop the floor. After that, you burn the bukhur, the incense, you perfume the place. And after that, you rearrange the furniture and decorate it and make it nice. So all three of those serve that function. So how do we establish salawat as a part of our regular routine of dhikr? Like the istighfar, you want to start ideally at 100. That's mentioned explicitly in the hadith of al-Tabarani, to send 100 salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, when you invoke, it should be with love and reverence. One of the ulama said, beware of the trap of shaitan in thinking as you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad that you are increasing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in anything. No, you're asking Allah to do it on your behalf. You're not actually increasing him in anything. Allah Ta'ala has honored you to be able to mention him and ask Allah to elevate his rank, right? And go back to the verse we mentioned earlier in Surah Al-Ahzab. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Indeed, Allah and His angels send salat upon the Prophet. O you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ, send salat upon him in abundant salutations. That is the command of Allah Ta'ala. How do we fulfill that command? Notice that when we fulfill the command, we are actually saying Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. We are asking Allah to do it on our behalf. Allah tells the believers sallu, and we fulfill the command by asking Allah to do it on our behalf. Allahumma salli. Right? So we can't increase the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in anything. Any increase that we have spiritually, it's because of his guidance. So when we send salawat, we're asking Allah to increase him. So don't fall for the trap of shaitan, as some scholars say, in thinking that by invoking salawat, you, with your feeble tongue, are increasing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in rank. It is Allah who increases him in rank, and he has honored you to be able to mention him with your tongue. That's a great honor. And lastly, when a person establishes the routine of dhikr and salawat, what should they visualize? It's not really that important in the beginning to get too carried away in the visualization. However, some scholars say that if you want to get the most out of salawat, you think about the lofty rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have seen him in a dream, imagine his form. If you haven't seen him in a dream, think about what he looks like. Think about his character and his beauty and his majesty. And as you send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you haven't seen him, if you haven't studied the Shama'il, then at the very least you think about him and his character and his beauties in the best way you can. And that way you're attaching your heart and your mind to the meaning of the salawat as you invoke them. This is one of the ways of getting the most out of the salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the ways to increase this is to become familiar with the virtues of sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there are several books written by the ulama, some very detailed, some very basic, that talk about the virtues. One of the best books, in my opinion, is a book by the title As-Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The full title in Arabic, he says, is Fada'iduha wa Fawa'iduha wa Ahkamuha, something along those lines, by a Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin al-Husayni rahimahullah, one of the great ulama of hadith in Halab, who died in 2004. This book is a really beautiful, basic book that every Muslim should try to read. It's been translated into English as well by Al-Abd al-Da'if. You can find it online. This is a very good book to get to read and familiarize yourself with the meanings of salawat, the virtues of salawat, and all of the hadith that mention the recommended times and situations to say it. For example, how many of you have ever heard that if you forget something, you send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if you lost something? Well, this is a hadith recorded by Tabarani. وَإِن كَانَ فِيهِ مَقَالٍ, that if you forget something or lose something, send salawat. Or if you're feeling pain, send salawat. If you're feeling anxiety, send salawat. All of those instances are connected to a very specific hadith. So the more you familiarize yourself with the virtues and the times, places, and situations in which it's recommended, the more you do it, the more you get attached to the meanings. And as I said in the beginning, the more you send salawat, the more attached you will become to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the more attached you are to him, the more attached you will be to his guidance, and the better you will become, and your character will be transformed as a result. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.